And we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Acts, chapter number 3. I'd like to start reading today in verse number 1 of Acts, chapter number 3. I appreciate the servers being here today, being a blessing to us. And Brother Kelly, what many of you don't know, but me and Brother Mike are well aware of, and some of the leadership, Brother Kelly has been so good to our church through his business. I don't take that lightly. He's fixed several units here and has been a blessing to our church and has helped us financially in the cost of those goods. And so I believe giving a feller flyers before I get to his casket. Yeah. And I want to say thank you, Brother Kelly, from our church. We don't take that lightly. And the people of God are so good here to give and to tithe. And they have been abundantly above. And the Lord has blessed on the count of it, and people like you helping us, we appreciate that so very much. Amen. Say amen if you love God. Ain't you glad that some people still got a burden to help the house of God? Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the night fire, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, they asked an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said this Bible quote, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." I'm glad I know what I got this morning. "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately. I'm glad it's not a progressive state. What Jesus does, he does immediately. His feet and his ankle bones receive strength. Look in verse 8. "And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking, praising God. They knew that it was he that sent for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement, all that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together into them in the porch. It is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you for the good time together today. Thank you for the songs telling the old, old story. Thank you that you hung on Calvary's hill and there you died. Lord, on the third day you rose over death, hell, and the grave. And I thank you for that this morning, that hope that lives in me today. I pray you touch our hearts. I pray, God, you'd save sinners. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Peter said, "And silver and gold have I none." I'd like to preach on this simple Bible subject this morning on some things that are better than silver and gold. Some things that are better than silver and gold. You know, there's a lot of folks that got their hope in silver and in gold. There's some folks think they have a great treasure in silver and gold. But Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some things better than silver and gold. You'll notice, first of all, in Acts chapter number 3, in verses 1 through 2, the Bible shows us a gate that was public. A gate that was public. Said Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now this gate that was public, notice if you would in verse number 1, it is a place of behavior. For the Bible quotes and says that Peter and John went up together. There's nothing like God's people coming together. I realize we live in a day and an hour when Facebook is available. Thank God for it. Our shut-ins can hear the good news of the Lord Jesus. But honey, every camera in America will never take place of the assembling of ourselves together. I'm glad we can come together. I'm glad we can leave our differences out yonder and come up these steps in one mind and accord and get together. We need to be together on the Bible we're preaching. I don't need another Bible. I need to preach out of the one that the Holy Ghost wrote down. We need to get together on preaching. We need to get together on praying. The Bible said they went there in the middle of the evening. Can I tell you, it's still right to pray. Aren't you glad we got a God in heaven that can hear your prayer and my prayer? Oh, we need to get together on praying. Then did you notice after he got saved, he lit into praise? Can I tell you, it's still right to raise your hands toward glory? Can I tell you, it's still right to say amen? It's still all right, as Granny used to say, to testify. It's still right to praise God in this day and this hour. Now you'll notice this gate that was public. It is a place of behavior. May God grant us unity. May God grant us going together in these last days till He comes for us. Getting our mind and our hearts in one accord, looking toward where He lives. And realize that without anything happens without Him. We need Him this morning. And here there was a gate that was public. It was a place of behavior. But then in verse 2, watch your Bible. It was a place of bringing. For the Bible said a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, who they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful. This gate that was public, not only is it a place of behavior, but it is a place of bringing. I'd like to ask you, where you go to church at on Sunday, would that be some place that you could bring somebody that needed some help? Thank God for some places that you can bring people that might not look like you and might not look like me and might not dress like you and dress like me, but I sure am glad it is a place of bringing. If sinners can't come to the house of God, friend, hey, we done got too crippled, too high for crutches. They sick folks go to the hospital. They sinners can come to the house of God and hear the glorious news of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus saves. Don't care what you've done nor how long you've been doing it. The blood of Calvary can wash you clean this morning. It is a place of bringing. I'm glad we got a house of God. We can bring sinners to get help by the honor and the glory of God. I wonder where you go to church, would you bring anybody to that place? I went to a few churches. I didn't want to bring nobody with me because I couldn't hardly wait till it got done myself. Somebody say amen. But I sure am glad we have a house of God here that we can bring others with us. The gate that was public, it is a place of behavior. It is a place of bringing. Look in verse 5. It speaks volumes. It is a place of benevolence. For he said after he got there, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. I want to say this today. They have a right to expect to receive something. When people come to the house of God, we see within this text of Acts 3, he came in expecting to receive something of them. It is a place of benevolence. They should expect something from us. We got a church sign outside. That ought to proclaim to the world that we're different than the world. We act different than the world. We dress different than the world. We listen to music different. Get quiet, I'll preach a while this morning. Honey, let me tell you, they ought to expect something from us in this day and this hour. They can't get it down at the Mooses and the Gooses. They can't get it down yonder at the fellowship hall, but they can get it with the blood-called church. Those that are born again by the grace of God, hey, they have a right to expect something this morning. Expecting something of them. Hey, you go down the restaurant, catfish restaurant, I'm expecting catfish. I go to the Chinese place, I'm expecting black pepper chicken. Somebody say amen. But down at the house of God, I'm expecting people to magnify Christ. And the gospel is preached. And the old story is sung. Thank God. I'm glad we got a place of benevolence this morning, where people can come expecting something. And this is what I want to highlight to you this morning. I noticed when I was reading, I never had this thought till I read it. No doubt there were others there, but they fastened their eyes on Peter and John. They expected to receive something of them too. Let me tell you something. People are watching you and they're watching me. And honey, you might cry that you love Jesus on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. But people's are watching me and you. And they was expecting more out of a certain crowd. I want to say I expect more out of a certain crowd of people. I expect more out of the leadership at Liberty Baptist Church. I expect more out of the preacher. Go and shake a little Baptist head up and down. I expect more out of the faithful members that love God with our testimony and the things that we're doing. That preaching don't do good in the Carolinas neither, but I don't change it in Georgia. Is expecting to receive something of them. They realized something about them two boys was different. Somebody ought to realize about you, you got something different. You ought not drink their booze and go to their bars and play their lotto tickets. You ought not tell their dirty jokes. Expecting to receive something of them. And I want to say, everybody that comes to Liberty Baptist Church, they have a right to expect something. Maybe that's our problem. We don't expect nothing. I was sitting over there as the men's been gathering on Saturday night. I think this was the night, Saturday night, that we've gathered. There were men in this building last night that scattered out around these pews where you sit, where you come in church and prayed for you and your family. Those men prayed for your man of God standing preaching this morning. They prayed for the men that would come singing this morning. And let me tell you something, there's ever been a day and an hour when we better get real and put religion off to the side and realize people have a right to expect something to come in Liberty Baptist Church. I've heard them come in and say, well, he's too loud. That's fine, they got quiet churches. They come in and say, well, my goodness, their service is too long. Well, they got short churches. Amen. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm glad what God's doing here in this day and this hour. Hey, they got a right to expect something when they come to the house of God. Is it going to be entertainment? Is all the lights going to go out? A drama team going to get up? Dog and pony show goes on? Whatever happened to having an old-timey church in the day that we live? Oh, they've got a right to expect something. Let me tell you something. I don't want to say this, but it's true. My neighbors has got a right to expect something from me. Your neighbors has got a right to expect something out of you. You're different if you know Jesus. Why would I have to sign a contract with a church member? My handshake ought to be gold. My word ought to be the word. If I couldn't pay you, I ought to be man enough to crawl up to you and say, I'm sorry, I'll be late, but I'll sell something and get you paid. Somebody say amen. a gate that was public. It's pretty good preaching on old-fashioned day. A gate that was public. You'll notice this. Somebody pray this pollen will leave Georgia. A gate that was public is a place of behavior, a place of bringing, a place of benevolence. But look at verse 2. It was a place of beauty. They called it a beautiful gate. God's house ought to be the most beautiful place in town. I walked in that inn last night, no lights on, sun shining through these stained glass. I turned around and told some of the fellas, I said, fellas, God has sure give us a pretty place to go to church. Now, I tell you one thing, I don't want prettiness to knock the shine off Jesus. I want Him to be lifted higher than the chandeliers this morning. I want Him to be lifted higher than who we are and what we are. For He deserves all the honor and the praise and the glory. It was a place of beauty. Verse 2 was a place of burden. It's where others could bring a burden. Do you see this in verse 2? Hey, people. You know, this is the thing where people's got it wrong about church. They think if you go to church that you don't ever have no issues. And then they think this, well, you know, I don't have a place I can bring my burden to. But somebody, let me tell you something. This crippled man was a burden for somebody. And they had a place that they could bring their burden. Aren't you glad you got a place you can bring your burden this morning? I would love to tell you, mom and daddies that love God, if you raise your children, they'd all be perfect. But that's not in our Bible. I'd love to tell you that if you love your wife and you love your husband and everything will be perfect, that ain't what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that the Lord will be with you and He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And let me tell you, this is a day and an hour. This is an assembly of imperfect people. There's one perfect. He hung on the cross for you and He died and shed His blood that you could go free. Aren't you glad it's a place you can bring a burden? How many times I was preaching for some men the other week, and I said, fellas, I'll be honest with you. One of your problems is you're not honest enough with your congregation. You know, a preacher wants people to think he's bulletproof and everything's fine. Well, let me tell you, sometimes I get so burdened I can't move. But I'm glad I've got some men that I can call upon and say, look, fellas, I'm human. I need you to help me where I live and in my heart. Now gather around me and pray. Some say, preacher, it'll be better after a while. Preacher, you're doing right. Just stay with preaching. I'm going to tell you something. We've all got burdens and we better realize we got a place we can bring them to the Lord because He does care and He loves us and He can do something for our burdens this morning. A lot of us think, well, we don't want nobody to know that our family's unperfect. Hello. Here's a televised preview for you. We all know you unperfect. Oh, I'm glad we've got a place we can bring our burden. What are you burdened about this morning? I don't know how much longer I'll get to preach this, but I want to say what's in my heart today. Used to be in a day and an hour when people was burdened about being lost. Young person, look up here at your preacher this morning. You're going to die and you're going to meet God one day. Mom and daddy, you may think you're going to live forever, but you're not. You're going to meet God one day. My daughter sent out a prayer request last week. A young lady met the Lord, left behind children in her 20s. People in your 20s, I'd love to tell you you'll live to be my age, but I don't know that. But I will tell you this. I've got a burden for your soul this morning. If you've never been saved, I want to see you be saved. I want to know that you're going to heaven to live with Jesus. And you'll not die and go to hell in the lake that burns with fire. Oh, this morning it was a place of burden. Church, could we get our burden back for lost people? Some of you mom and daddy's got children, never been saved. You won't even pray about it. Some of you grandparents got loved ones that are lost. You won't even pray about it. Used to, in days gone by, it'd be times that they'd come to altars and they'd cry out, oh, save Johnny. Oh, save Debbie. Oh, save Susie. Can I tell you, this gate that was public, it's a place that could bring their burden. If Liberty Baptist Church, if it's ever been a day when we ought to already have a burden, it is this day and this hour. This world is chaos. This world's getting your children at a very fast pace. Technology is so abundant. Now we're engulfed and we're enwrapped in a cell phone instead of our Bible. We wonder why we're not seeing spiritual and holy things happen. Oh, the gate that was public. Secondly, some things better than silver and gold. The gate that was public, but secondly, the gospel that was preached. Look in verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Time out. I want to say this. First of all, he knew what? He knew what he didn't have. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm convinced some things in my life that I don't have. You may be here and you've never come to Christ. And it's the Spirit's work to convince you of what you don't have. But here, Peter, he said, "Silver and gold have I none." The gospel that was preached, he knew what. Then secondly, he knew who. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." Aren't you glad that Jesus is free and Jesus can be given to others? You know, this morning, this gospel was preached. Watch this. He knew what, he knew who, and then he knew where. Look where he took him to. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Can I tell you that Jesus died for all today? Isn't it amazing that He loved you so much that He gave His life for you? Parker's here this morning. Parker, come here, son. Parker is my only grandson. I have three grandchildren. You know, these grandchildren can get your heart. Parker's 10 years old. We hunt and we fish. We have Bible stories. We prayed together. You know something? I love this child. I love them other three little children. But I said that to say this. Can you imagine the love that God had for you that He gave His only Son to die for you? But there's been a lot of people, Brother Kelly's done a lot for me. But I've never known nobody that gave their Son for me. Isn't that amazing? Somebody like me, God sent His Son to die. You know, that tells me a lot of things about God this morning. It tells me that God must have wanted me. It tells me God must have wanted you. That God would send His Son to get you to where He is. It lets me know God wanted fellowship. I'm amazed this morning that the gospel that was preached, Peter knew what he didn't have, he knew what he did have, and he knew where to point others to get what he had. Watch this, he didn't say, "Go down to the First Baptist Church." He didn't say, "Go shake the preacher's hand in town." He didn't say, "Go down the river and be baptized," but it is right after you get saved. But I want to say what he did say it. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise up and walk." And it takes me to my last point this morning. The gate that was public, the gospel that was preached, but lastly, the gift that was possible. The gift that was possible, it's in verse 7. Look what happens. The Bible says, "And He took him by the right hand. And He lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength." Sherry, would you come this morning, please? You say, "Preacher, this gift that is possible." Yep. Look in verse 5. I've already told you about this. You see, we see where help was expected. Help was expected. He came there needing something. Wonder what you come here needing this morning. talking about this gift that was possible. First of all, this help that was expected. He expected to get some help. Can I tell you, if you'll put your expectations in Christ, you can receive that help this morning. He expected help. But not only this help expected, look in verse 7, I love this. There's a hand extended. I like this about him. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up, walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately. You say, well, preacher, what happened? The lame man responded. I'm so glad there's been a hand extended. Did you know if you die and go to hell and die without God, you'll go there in spite of the hand that was extended to you? God has extended His hand of mercy to you. This help that was expected, he needed something. Do you need something this morning? You know, I was raised in church. You know my background, my story. I was raised in a religious home, but I've never been saved. But I came to a place and a time when I realized what I was doing wasn't working. I realized for the first time that I needed God in my life. I sure am glad that I was expecting some help. I sure am glad that there was a hand that was extended my way. A lot of you know Preacher Elmer Cason. He's in heaven. He is a well digger in this community. Brother Cason came by my house one Saturday morning. He extended his hand out to me. And this is what he said to me. He said, Ken, are you saved? Of course, I lied. I lied because I was a liar. I was a sinner. I just wanted him to leave. God extended his hand to me that Saturday morning. You know, I preached a message not long ago, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He said, how often I would have, but you would not. How many times has God extended his hand to help you and you've rejected it? But not this man. For you see, this gift that was possible, there was a help expected, there was a hand extended, but now there's a hope examined. He knows something just happened to him. Can I tell you we have a lively hope this morning? This Bible word hope don't mean are we wondering. It goes way beyond that. It's expecting to receive. Knowing. Shorten this sermon in a few words. This is what happened. Somebody had a burden and brought it to the house of God. It happened to be this lame man. The Bible says in Acts 4, in about verse 28 or 33, he was above 40 years old. I wonder how many people had walked by him at that gate and laughed at him. I wonder how many people had walked by and seen him and scuffed. Wonder how many walked by and said, you know what, that's trash. That's trash. Jesus didn't see him that way. And you shouldn't see him that way. That's a soul that's going to meet God. And Peter said, you know what? He said, I know you're needing something, and silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I've got something. Can I tell you this morning, I know I got something. A lot of folks said years ago, that's going to wear off you. Ken got him some religion. No. No, I got Jesus. You know, it's in my heart to give him to you this morning. He'd change your life. Mama and Daddy, as I asked you, where's your burden this morning? Sir, ma'am, I asked you, do you need something? Do you need to be saved? I'd like to extend my hand out to you, just as Peter did. Tell you that if you'll respond by faith to Christ,
Matter of fact, he preached a whole message in the book of Acts 4 and told them all how he got saved. He said he put his trust in Jesus, not in me. And Jesus saved him. And they all got mad at Peter and John and run them out of town. 5,000 got saved after this boy got saved. I wonder how many get saved after you get saved. While we come this morning, my sister, please, I want to open this altar up. You need to come pray. I want to ask you, ma'am. Sir, I want to ask you, I'd like to extend that hand of Christ out to you this morning. No, I can't save, but I can point you to somebody that can. He loves you this morning. Would you come? I wonder right where you are. Would you get out of your seat and step out by faith and receive Jesus this morning? Would you bow a knee to Christ and say, Lord, save me, a sinner. Would you come this morning? Anybody around the house, would you come? You need something? Would you come? There's room for you this morning. He loves you so. Boy, that lame man, he knowed he needed something and he come. Expecting to receive something. He had a need. Have you got a need this morning? Would you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed in the building, I'd ask this question today. Nobody looking, no place, nobody watching but myself. I would never embarrass you. Never, ever would I ever embarrass you.